We learned yesterday the Mitzudos in Rashi, page 476. Page 476, I'll read the pasuk again, and I'll read the pasuk. Koyam Hashem al Hanavim Hamasim es Ami. So says Hashem to the Nevim Hamasim, which mislead my people. What do? The pasuk now describes how they mislead my people. Hanoshchim b'shineihem, the people who chew with their teeth. In other words, the people that are wealthy, the people that are successful and have what to eat. And the assumption is if they have what to eat, they're generous and they give to the Navi, they give to the false prophet food as well. So to those people who bribe, in essence, are bribing the Navi, the Koru'u Shalom, the false prophet declares, he says, he reads to them that they will be blessed with peace. The Asher lo yitin al pihem, those people that do not put food in their al pihem, they do not put al pihem, they're poor. They don't have food to put into their mouths. If they cannot feed themselves, they certainly can't feed the Navi. So to those people who have nothing what to offer, they do not count. The Kitshu Olav Milchama, the false prophet, designates. The word Kitshu means to designate. They designate war. They tell them that you are going to suffer. So this is the nature, this is the technique of the false prophets. To the rich and famous, to those people, they flatter and they say nice things. To the people who do not count, they insult. Okay, we discussed this yesterday at great length, the Mitzudas and Rashi. Now let's go to Radak. Radak Pasuk Hey says, on page 477, Koyam Hashem Haneshchem Mishneim, Heim Machlikim Lohem L'Shoinam V'Karim Lohem Shalom. To those people who chew with their teeth, in other words, the people that are same so far the same, people who are successful, the Nevi'e Sheker or Machalikim Lechem L'Shonam, they sweet talk, they smooth talk these people, and they say to them everything is going to be fine and good. Kiloimar Shalom Yelechem Al Tiru Mehanevim Hamisnabim Lechem Peranus. Do not be afraid of the Nevim that say that you're going to suffer. Vehem Bechelkas Sif Soisehem, and they are smooth talkers with their lips. Zo Noshchim Oisam Bishinehem. To those people, they chew. Let's see how you read Kolaymar Meriim Lohem Ki Nishikasam Nishicha Hi Lohem. Their biting is a bite to them. Al derech sha'amar v'nataros nishikoy sone. The kisses of an enemy are nataros, which means bites. Yaakov, when Esav met Yaakov, so it says in the past that he kissed him. Vayishokeyu, and there are dots on top of the word vayishokeyu, which Chazal interpret to mean that Esav really bit. Esav tried to bite Yaakov, and his teeth fell out, and he was crying, so it wasn't a kiss, it was really a bite. Yet the pasuk Vayishakel like Loshon Sagi Nohor. You don't want to say about a tzaddik that someone bit a tzaddik. So instead of the Torah saying that someone bit a tzaddik, the Torah speaks Loshon Sagi Nohor, that someone kissed a tzaddik. Now, I'm not clear here with this, what he means to say. It's one thing is certain. According to Rashi and according to the Mitzvot, when it says over here in this pasuk, "Nashrim b'shineihem," it means people who are wealthy versus people who are poor. It appears, if I'm not mistaken, that that's not what the Radak is learning. It's not really the beginning of the Radak is not clear, but for the end of the Radak, it makes it more clear. And he appears to be saying that we're not discussing people who are wealthy or poor, people who have what to eat. It means the smooth talkers. "Nashrim b'shineihem" means. It seems to mean that people who speak nicely, people who noishchem b'shineihem v'karusha. Let's read the words again in the second half. Let's try to figure out what he's trying to say. I'm not sure I understand this. Over here he says noishchem. Let's read the first line. Shalom v'karim lohem shalom kiloimar. Okay, whenever it says kiloimar, it means it's not the literal translation. Shalom yelochem, al tiru, do not be afraid, mehanavim, hamisnabim lochem puranos. So I think what he means to say is that hanayshchim bishinayim is going on the Nevi'i Emes. the Nevi'ei Emes, who are biting the wicked. The Nevi'ei Emes are saying harsh words to the wicked people. And the way the Pasuk describes harsh words is as if someone is biting you. So to those people whom the Nevi'ei Emes are declaring you're going to be in a lot of trouble, they undermine them and they say, no, they're all wrong. The Karu Shalom, everything is A-okay, you have nothing what to worry about. The Asher Lo Yitein Alpi. Now he goes further. That's the Klaim Merim Lohem. Those whom the Nevi'ei Emes are Noishkem, those words, again, the second line in Pasuk in the Radak. Vehein Bechelkas Sif Sosayem Zo. Noishchim oisam bishinehem kolaymar, meiriim lohem, they say evil about them. Ki nishikasam nishichas hi lohem, their nishika, their kissing. The word noishchim, no, that's a different word. It's like an example. A kiss is like a bite. Al derech shamar benatoros nishikoi sone. Okay, noishchim means to bite. They bite with their teeth. Okay, so let's go further. We'll come back. V'asher lo yitein al piyem v'kitshu olav milchamo kiloymar mi shelo yitein lohem ma sheshoyalim mimenu b'machal uv'mishte. This is a different thing altogether. People who do not give food, k'moish amalamala atif l'cha layayin v'la sheikhar v'im lo yitein yazminu olav milchamo kiloymar yis'asvu yachan nevi ha'shekev yilochamu olav b'dvorim rabim. Okay, so it seems over here that the Nevi'ei Sheker, according to the second interpretation, is the people that do not give them food. People that do not pay, to them they say, they join together, it's a conspiracy. We're not talking about a Muhammad of the Umayyad Olam, the enemy is going to attack Eretz Yisrael and destroy them, but rather it means all of the Nevi'ei Sheker are part of a union. And the word goes out, this fellow is blacklisted. No one should say something nice about this person. So let's review this parish. Very different than what we learned yesterday. Read words one more time. What do they do? Number one, in regard to people who are targets of the Nevi'ei Emes, to those people, they undermine the Nevi'ei Emes by telling the people who the Nevi'ei Emes say are in trouble. There is no trouble. There is only peace. The term, the two words, Hanoshchim Bishinehem, is an expression which means the Nevi'ei Emes are biting them. How are the Nevi'ei Emes biting them? They are predicting about these people that they are in a lot of trouble. They are going to suffer for their averos. Regarding this category of people, the Nevi'ei Sheker undermine the Nevi'ei Emes by telling them just the opposite, the Karu'u Shalom, you'll be okay, don't worry about it. Don't listen to what the Navi Emes said, everything is going to be okay by you. What else do the Nevi'ei Sheker do to make trouble? V'asher lo yitein al piyem. Let's say you have just good people. They're nice people. They're no problems. But these people are not willing to pay the Nevi'ei Sheker to say words of falsehood. They don't hold from the Nevi'ei Sheker, so they don't pay the membership dues. To them, v'kitshu olav milchama, they designate, they WhatsApp their fellow Nevi'ei Sheker, and they say, listen, this fellow here, you should all be aware, is not paying his dues. And therefore, we have to conspire against him. Everyone should be on the same team to make sure that he does not get any special treatment. That is the way the Radak appears to be learning the Pasuk in his first interpretation. And then he says, V'yesh mefarshim, ha-noshchim b'shinehem, Ma shenoitznim lohem milechem ubasar ushar macholim noishchim bishinehem v'oichlim. So according to this, now he's going back and he's learning Pshat and the Rash, and the Pasuk, like Rashi and the Mitzudois, the word Hanashrim B'Shinia means the people who pay. There's a parallel in the Pasuk. The end of the Pasuk refers to those that do not pay. The beginning of the Pasuk is now telling us it refers to those people who do pay. How do they pay? They're wealthy. They have what to pay. How do we know they have what to pay? Well, they eat very well. They chew good food. People who have what to chew, meaning they have money, they pay. That's exactly what Rashi and the Mitzvot David said. And to these people, the Oichlam, the Oz, Yikul Rem L'Shalom, the Yisnabul Rem L'Rem Tavim, the Chintig, and Bionis, and Kinda, Omar Hashem, so says Hashem, Al Nivi HaShikra, the Matan Yas Ami, who mislead my people, the Man Demoivel Lohon Sheiravon, those citizens who bring, who provide the Nevi'ei Sheker with Sheiravon means food, portions, divosar of meat, Misnabin Alayhi Shalama. To the people that provide the Navi Sheker with portions of food, they get a good prophecy. Udeloi Mayvel Lahoin, to the people who do not, those individuals that do not provide food to the Navi Sheker, Alohi Kirava, to them, Mizamnin Alohi Kirava, to them they predict war. Okay, so we have over here the second parish like Rashi. The first parish is something very interesting, and it's a new understanding of what it means. Hanashrim b'shineihem. It's an expression referring to people whom the Navi MS targets as people who are in trouble. Now let's see the Malbim. Malbim pasuk hei koyim Hashem, the same page 477. Koyim Hashem v'neged mash liratzu l'shmol l'nevi ha'emes. V'shamu kol moirei sheker u'nevi'ei kazav. The people, the citizens of the Jewish people, they're not listening to the Navi MS. Instead, they're listening to Navi Sheker. Words of falsehood. Amar Hashem al nevi'im. She'im asim es amim b'derech t'atoy v'heim menabim rak lahanos atzman. She'im noishchem b'shineihem. Same thing as Rashi and the Mitzudois. If they bribe them by giving them good food, then oz yikru shalom. Any citizen that does not give the Navi good food, what to eat, the kitchu alav mulchama, the yinabu alav ra'ah, and they will prophesy ra'ah kima said devar hedya b'perikaroya, like in perikaroya by the dreams. Okay, the sugya of the dreams, haroya. So this comes to support what I said yesterday. Yesterday I said over here that there's a similarity between dreams and prophecy. Okay, the Malam is not saying the whole thing, the whole drush I said yesterday, but he does allude to this connection between the dream interpreters. If they were paid well, then they would abuse their power and interpret the dreams to the benefit of the people coming to ask them, the dreamers. And if they would not be paid well, then they would abuse their power and predict gloom and doom for the dreamers. Okay, now I just want to point out two things. One thing that's practical and one thing that's not, that's Chazal. When a poor person today, you know, they come collecting, and they get very angry. I don't know if you had bad experience, but I've had this where people, they come knock on your door for money, and you open up the door and you give them a dollar, and they curse you. And they start going into a tirade about the people of Flatbush. They're so cheap. They don't want to give any money. How could this possibly be? They came to America. They were told that the streets of America are paved with gold. And everyone in America lives in a big fancy mansion. Everyone has so much money. And the people here, they're so wicked. They can't even give me a dollar. What kind of a chutzpah is this? Okay, they don't get it. They don't realize some of them have more money than me. But what do you do to silence them? You give them food. You give someone a bribe. They don't curse you. You give them a bottle of water for 69 cents, or you give them a little Danish. All of a sudden, you give them a little Danish for a dollar. You can go a long way in making them happy. You can get bigger mitzvah in giving them a bottle of water than giving them a dollar. I actually know a person who's very wealthy. He actually has a refrigerator by the door. A little refrigerator by the door of his house. And he has the little doggy bags. And every collector that comes, he doesn't give them all that much money. Whatever he gives them,
But he also gives a little doggy bag. They're very hot, they're very tired. Someone told me recently that in Lakewood, they come around, Lakewood, you think it's bad in Flatbush, in Lakewood it's much worse. Lakewood is swarming with collectors, not real. So someone came to, someone I know's home on Shiva Asa B'Tamas. And if you remember 4 weeks ago, or 5 weeks ago, how long, it was 100 degrees, literally, on Shiva Asa B'Tamas. I remember that day. I was working somewhere. It was literally 100 degrees. It wasn't to be believed how hot it was. And a fellow comes, and Shiva Asa B'Tamas, the Lakewood, it's even hotter there sometimes, knocks on the door, someone that I know, opened up the door. So the Bala Sabayas, she gave him whatever, a dollar or two, and gave him a cold bottle of water. It was Shiva Asa B'Tamas. So he says, give me a bottle of water on Shiva Asa B'Tamas? Well, you think I'm not fasting today? So she says, how could you be fasting, going collecting like this in such sweltering hot? So how could it possibly be that you're not fasting today, on a day, that you're fasting a day like this? But the fellow says, no, I'm fasting. So she says, you're fasting, you can't do this. Sakmamish, sakonis nefashas, to go run around the whole day in this heat to collect. And you're going to fast? It's not possible. But it's interesting, here you give a bottle of water and the person gets insulted. You suspect that I'm not, that I'm actually not fasting? I found it to be a very interesting conversation. Now, by the way, now the one last point, and that is the Gemara in the Sechta Sanhedrin tells us that we all know the halacha is that there are people who kill inadvertently are locked up in the Orei Miklat. And when do they go free? They go free when the Kohen Gadol dies. So what do they do every day in the Orei Miklat? They have koilel, they have rehabilitation. It's the real correction facility. They correct the people from their averos for not being for manslaughter, for not thinking about the value of life. And they learn the koilel, they learn, and then after they finish koilel, daven mincha, and after they daven mincha, what do? They say tehillim. What are they saying tehillim for? The mispala, the kohen gadol, should die already. Instead of saying tehillim that the kohen god, that someone should live, they say tehillim, someone should die. That's mamish what took place. People, so it says Chazal, they were mispal that he should die because they're locked up. They want to get on with their lives, and as long as the kohen gadol is alive, they're locked up here in this prison. So the mamish mispalal that the kohen gadol should die. Chazal say what the mother of the kohen gadol would distribute doggy bags. Okay, we'll distribute a little schnapps, a little orange juice, a little Danish to the people in the R.A. Mikon, make tikkun every day. And after they would have tikkun, the mother would show up, a nice lady, she comes, she gives them some food, and then, time, daven mincha, they daven mincha, and they still daven, they still say to Hillim that the Kohen Gadol should die. But guess what? Because in the back of their minds, they just ate the delicious food of the mother of the Kohen Gadol. When they say Tehillim, they don't say it with Kavana. They just lip service. So they say the Tehillim, but they don't say it with Kavana because they've been bribed. They've been bribed. It's not even possible for them to say it with Kavana. You give someone just a dollar, already you're affected. You're affected. You can't sit with Kavana. And this technique worked. She neutralized, she was able to neutralize the koyach of their tefillah, that they should not die, by giving the people just a little orange juice and a little Danish, a Reisman's Danish. This shiur has been sponsored by Reisman Bakery, by the way. By giving a Reisman Danish, that's enough to neutralize the effect. Look at what it says over here in this pasuk. In this pasuk, it says, you have a Navi Sheker. And the Navi Sheker is coming over here. A Navi Sheker over here has power. We learned yesterday, he has power. Whatever he does, doesn't. He wants to go say something. Anoyishchem b'shineihem. The people that bite, they give a small amount of food. Don't underestimate how far it goes to give a person just a small amount of food, how far it goes to influence a person to do what you want. Okay, we're not talking about giving a person $1 million, buying them a house. We're talking about putting food in someone's stomach. That's an instant joy, an instant pleasure. That alone sometimes can go further than giving a person $1 million. Okay, it's an amazing thing. You go to a person, someone comes to collect your house. So you write out a check of $100 to a collector. Or you write out, you give him $1, a dollar bill, and you give him a bottle of water with a leftover mishalach manos, a wafer from your leftover mishalach manos from before Pesach, chomech, avolav haPesach. Sometimes you'd be shocked, the $1 with a bottle of water and a wafer goes further in making that person happy than writing out a check of $100. It sounds crazy, right? The only reason why he's collecting here is because he needs the $100, not because he needs your wafer or your bottle of soda, or you tell him you need to use the restroom. Would you like to use the restroom? You know, you go to Olam Haba for saying that, let these people come and use your restroom. It's already, it's a rachmanis on these people. It's a
influence
on the future. So we discussed that for a whole hour yesterday. We discussed that. You were here yesterday, correct? So that's what we discussed yesterday for the entire hour. That was the questions. I was trying to suggest yes. And many people here in this room were giving me a very hard time and trying to suggest no. Rightfully so, he said.
Yeshua.
Who? Yeshu? Yeshu? Which one? Which Yeshu? Which Yeshu? There are a few Yeshus. There are a few Yeshus. According to the latest research, go Google this, he was married and had children. What was he? Well, the later one, Lacharnat, the earlier one, yes. The earlier one, the first one, the original, there's more than one, that's for sure. There are at least two, maybe even three.
Even four.
Who knows? But whatever it is, the earlier ones had something to them. Had a Talmud of Yeshua ben Prachya. Was not a Pashta person. Okay, was not a Pashta person. You don't just go belittle people. These were people that had tremendous... and they turned sour for various reasons. Some Chazal blame Reb Shimon Prachya. It's your fault he turned sour. You were too harsh. You did not, it's a lesson in chinuch. If he would not have been too harsh with him, then he would have, who knows, he could have been a very great Tana. He could have been a Tana. We could be learning his Torah here in Daf Gemara. And the whole world would have been completely different. But because he was too harsh, look at the disputation in the time of Rabbi the Sreifa Satalmud in 1242. In 1242, who was the one that was responsible for the entire event? Nicholas Donin. Who was Nicholas Donin? He was a Talmud in the yeshiva, a regular good student. He was an A student. And he just had some ideas that were a little bit off, and the Rebbe reacted a little bit too strongly and put him in Cherim. Okay, they dealt with him. There's a whole record of exactly what happened with him. But it seems there also is that there was a it's not exactly clear if anyone made a mistake, but he needed special attention and did not get the attention that he needed, and one thing led to another, and it became a wicked, wicked person out to undermine, to destroy Yadus. He's the one that brought to the attention of the church is that the secret of the Jewish people, the church until this point in time, was under the understanding that the Jews studied the Old Testament. Okay? Now, what is it called? Do you remember?
The Hebrew Bible.
And he brought to their attention that you're totally wrong. That's not the secret of the Jewish people. The secret of the Jewish people is the Talmud Bavli. And the way it's written up in all the books is that until this point of time, the church was really in the dark. They really had no clue the degree, the significance that the Talmud Bavli played in the life, in the religion, in the ideology of the of a Jew. They really didn't, they had no clue. And it was Nicholas Donin who brought this to their attention, and he made a war against the Talmud Bavli, and when they did an investigation, they discovered he was correct, and they basically put the Talmud Bavli on trial. The disputation of the year 1242 was not a disputation, it was the year 1220. So the burning was 2 years later. But the disputation in the year 1240 was not about the Jews. What was put on trial was the Talmud Bavli. And Rabbi Chili Paris, with a collection of other Talmidei Chacham, came to defend the Talmud Bavli. But in the process, it was very clear to them that this is what keeps the Jews ticking. And that is why the end was, 2 years later, they attempted to obliterate the Talmud Bavli. And by doing so, Mimela, the Jews will just dissipate, will just assimilate and become good Christians. Okay, so there is, going back to what we mentioned over here, do not underestimate the koyach of food. The way to a man's heart is through his
stomach.
Okay, don't underestimate. It's not for nothing that dates take place over food. Food. There's an incredible koyach in just a small amount of food, what it does to influence the mind of a person, and you see that clearly here in this pasuk. Okay, the whole difference between the Navi saying good or bad, your life in the hands, if chew with your teeth. What are you chewing with your teeth already? You're chewing a piece of stale bread? That's what it says here. That can make the difference. Achaim v'hamavis biyad halosha in the Navi Sheker, just a small morsel of food. So don't underestimate when a person comes, person who's hungry comes and you give him a little food, you make a major difference in their life. Like we all know children. It's a davar pashut. Children, when they get cranky, why are they cranky? Pashut, they're hungry. Any child that's become, that becomes very cranky, it's usually because, he once said, Rabbi Chola, Fried, Professor Fried. Remember you we brought down here to speak, Professor Fried? He's a psychologist. He established the organization called Chush. Yeah. So he said glucose. It's all about glucose, sugar in the brain. If there's no sugar in the brain, then children, the mind shuts down and not able to learn. If you don't have a good breakfast, if a child does not have a good breakfast, there's nothing to discuss. You're wasting your time. He's not going to get education. Yeshiva must provide breakfast. Not just breakfast, but a breakfast that the children will enjoy in order to get the glucose in their brain going so that their minds will be turned on, be receptive to get an education. And if a child comes into class without eating breakfast, then you're talking to a wall. Okay, and it's not just a child. It's a lesson in life. The mother of the Kohen Gadol would give leftover Shalosh Shudas food to the people in Ari Miklat, and that was enough that they no longer daven with Kavana that their husband, that their son should die. The Navi Sheker here, just eating a few morsels of bread, it's enough for him to make the difference who he's going to say. So it's a very powerful lesson not to underestimate.
Was the Lord saying actually had any power? That's the question I'm getting.
That we discussed yesterday.
No, that was the Navi Sheker we were discussing.
I was arguing that that a Navi Sheker, to be a Navi Sheker means you were a holy person. You were a holy person who turned sour. You don't just become a Navi Sheker. You wake up in the morning, you get up in front of the bima. Here I am, Rabbi Isai. Here I am. It doesn't work like that.
So when the bribe is not just what he's saying, but if the bribe is affecting what's going to happen.
Well, that's what I was saying yesterday. I spent an hour trying to argue that yesterday, and a lot of people here didn't like that argument. That was our topic of discussion yesterday. But don't underestimate, if someone is hungry, do not underestimate how much it means to give him a small amount of food. It changes everything in a person's mind. Okay,
children,
now let's...
Children respond to just one little piece of candy.
Exactly, one little
and
teeny thing.
Come, you know, and it gets a picture.
So will adults.
And adults also. Yes.
The halach is you have to make a bracha acharoina, a bracha rishoina. You make how on what's the shear? A bracha rishoina, a mashal. Also lehonos ve'olam hazeh b'loy bracha. Even a teeny teima. But what is called satisfaction to make a bracha acharoina? A kezayis. You know how small a kezayis is? A kezayis is the size of a standard slice of bread. A standard slice of 1 ounce, the amount of bread you can squash up and fit into a schnapps cup. Okay? You can basically take a slice of bread, try it, a slice of bread, you can squeeze it, and you can fit it into a schnapps cup. 1 ounce. A fluid ounce. The amount that you can fit one fluid ounce, if you take solid food and put it, that's called the kezayis. One slice of bread. Already Chazal said you must make a bracha acharoina. Why? That means you're in a different frame of mind. Chazal required you to make a bracha acharoina when you're in a different frame of mind. When you have achieved a bracha rishoina, even a teeny mashu, because that's called pleasure. But a bracha acharoina means a change has happened to you. I'm now a different person. I've eaten a significant amount of food. Where now you know I'm different. All you need to eat is one slice of bread, you're already a different person. And now you mechuyev to make a bracha acharoina. Okay, it's not to be underestimated.
I say, hungry person has no emunah.
A hungry person has no emunah. I never heard that expression before. But hunger shuts down the mind. It's a davar yidua. And the Nazis, yimach shemam v'zichram, in the Holocaust, they had plenty of food. Plenty of food to feed... their victims, and they deliberately chose not to give them the food, because by giving them food they would rebel, they would rise up and overthrow the Nazis, because the prisoners were many more, the numbers were many more, they could easily overpower them, and it's a technique in war that you starve your prisoners to shut down their minds. And when their minds are shut down, they can't think. The only thing you think about is food. You don't have any room left in your mind to think about anything else, about rebelling, about overcoming, planning, plotting. It should not have been so hard for clever Jews to overpower a few Nazis. And why then? So what, it's a very big mystery. It's a very big mystery. Why were they not able to overcome the Nazis in many situations? So terror. There are many different things which come together. Terror, but it's all psychological warfare. And part of the weapon that they use is to deny glucose to the brain. By denying glucose to the brain, that causes the mind to shut down and severely limits the will of a person to think, to plan, to plot, to overcome the enemy. Okay, let's go further.
Thirsty is worse than angry.
What?
Thirsty.
Thirsty?
Thirsty. Someone
who's thirsty, that's a very great pain. It's true, correct. It's all part of the same thing, dehydration. Now let's take a look at the Mamar Chazal. The Mamar Chazal, Apostle Candom, page 476, Haneshrim, B'dishrim, B'koril Shalom, Altamar Achanif, Ezeh Sheyachileini. It's the same idea. A person should not say, I will flatter. I'll flatter and bribe a person that feeds me. Achnif ezeh sheyashkeni. I will flatter a person that gives me what to drink. Achnif lezeh sheyalbisheni. I will flatter a person that gives me clothing. Achnif lezeh sheyechaseni. That will cover me. I get two different expressions. Maybe it means shelter. You have a home. My taima. Tahainu uvdayu dinivye sheker. Person should be very careful not to take a bribe. Okay, just telling you, because that's exactly what the Nevi'i Sheker did. They would speak positive words to people that bribed them. Havay Amun L'Dain, they would say to this individual, At less dichvasach, the at man demeloch. They would say to a person, there's no one like you. You're the greatest of the great. Okay, the Nevi'ei Sheker would say to people who fed them and sheltered them and gave them food, drink, clothing, and shelter, they would say, you are the greatest. There is no one like you. Mi chamoicha. You ever hear someone say like this to a rich person? You're the greatest person I ever met. You're so great. You're greater than great. Why? Why do they say this? Why does the Navi Sheker say this? Because the person paid him to say this. He bribed him. Omar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bedil eichlin atun mechabdin ilavi. Just because this fellow gave you a few pieces of bread, you give a rush of kavod. This is what it means. Hanoishchim b'shineihem. He's quoting here from Yirmiyah. Okay, that's from Yirmiyah. Same exact idea. They bite with their teeth, meaning it's they eat food. Hirni, and therefore mida kineged mida. Now we have a greater appreciation. Hirni machil oisam la'ano. Okay, Hashem. That's what Pshat in the pasuk in Yirmiyah. I'm sorry, the pasuk over here. Our pasuk over here. It's the Noshim. That's our pasuk over here. And he's coming to make the parallel to Yirmiyah. The Midah, Kineged Midah, is Hashem is going to feed the Nevi'ei Sheker, is going, and also the people that pay the Nevi'ei Sheker, Lano, wormwood, bitterness. Machanifin Lahoin, the Shavkin Li, they flatter the Rishoyim and they abandon Hashem. The Rishoyim are rebelling against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not proper. Ki may ace Nevi Yerushalayim Yotza Chanufa. From the prophets of Yerushalayim has gone forth flattery. And in this pasuk, the word Nevi'ei means false prophets. So basically what it says over here in Likutei Shas is basically consistent with what it says in the Malbum, what it says in Rashi, the Mitzvot David, and the second perish of the Radak. But the first perish of the Radak, at least in the first half of the pasuk, did not learn these two words to mean that. Instead, it meant something entirely different. To review, those who came late, it means that to people who are under attack by the Nevi'ei Emes, people who have been bitten by the Nevi'ei Emes, the Navi Emes points out a person, you Russia, you evil person, you have committed all of these terrible averos. The person who hears the Navi Emes say that feels as if he's been bitten. And the metaphor is teeth. And teeth because words are coming out of the mouth. So when harsh words come to the ear of a wicked person and they are insulted, it's the metaphor of the pasuk according to the Radak, it's as if someone bit me. So the Navi Sheker comes along and pats the guy on the back and says, don't worry, I'm also a prophet. And that fellow there, don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You'll be fine. Karu'u shalom. So the Radak goes up against every commentator here on the page. He's very brave. The Radak is very brave. He's taking on all the commentators by giving us something different than everyone else here on the page, including the Maimon Chazal from Kala Rabasi. Kala Rabasi is an esoteric medrash. I'm surprised the Arishkel actually quotes this. Kala Rabasi, you ever learn Kala Rabasi?
I've heard of Meseches
Kala. It's a little Mesech. The Meseches, who wrote them? That Mesech, the Rabbanan Savaroi. They were written by later Chachamim in Jewish, a later time in Jewish history, if that's where it's coming from. So it's very interesting that they actually quote this medrash, which says basically what Rashi was saying and what all of the other Mefarshim on the page said. Let's go now to the next pasuk. L'chem, therefore. Laila, l'chem, Mr. Cohen. Maybe you can... Okay, pasuk vav. L'chem, therefore, laila, l'chem, mechazayin. there's going to be darkness to you because of your false vision. V'choshcha won't be able to see. Right, your vision, you're going to be shut down. The visions of the false prophets are going to be darkened. Okay, we'll see an exact translation in a moment. V'choshcha l'chan mikisoyim. It's going to be dark to you from being able to divine. Where kesem is a form of black magic. I have no idea what it is. It's some type of technique where you draw from forces of contamination to predict the future. This is something with Zechiv. It's an Isser Daraisa, the Zechiv Misa. A person who engages in kesem is Chayiv Misa. Okay, so we really do not know what this is today. Uvo HaShemesh Al HaNeviim. The sun will set on the prophets. The kodar aleihem hayom. The day will be darkened. So notice in this pasuk there are four expressions of darkness. Number one is laila. Number two is choshcha. Number three is voho hashemesh. And number four is the kodar. Four different expressions of darkness, describing what will come upon the Nevi'e Sheker. Let's take a look over here in the Mefarshim Mitzvahs Pasuk Vav on page 477. Pasuk Vav Laila Lochem Echazayin Choyshech Kalaila Yavoy Aleichem Achmas Chazayin Hashekev Ukesayim Hashav due to false visions and divining falsehood. Next Mitzvahs Avo Hashemesh Tishka Hashemesh al Hanidim Rahim Vyekshach Alehem or Hayom Ritzin Alema Yib Sura at Shayya Ha'ilam Choshuch Badam. The world will be dark under the Chaval Dev Bilashonis Lehaflogas Ha'inyin. Okay, it's poetic repetition four times. Micha, with what we've learned so far from all the Nevim that we've learned together, I think Micha is the most poetic. Micha has a very, very elaborate, very, very powerful command of poetry. And Yecheskel also is very powerful. But Micha seems to be really, really very, very unique in this regard. Okay, so here we have four different expressions saying exactly the same thing. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi goes to the next pasuk. Let's do another pasuk. Okay, another pasuk. Let's go all the way to pasuk Tes. Uvoishu hachoizim. Pasuk Zayin. Uvoishu hachoizim. Those who have visions will become embarrassed. The chofru hakoisvim, the diviners will be put to shame. The otu al safam kulam, otu means they will drape a shmata to their lips. Otu means like atifa, the atifa satalis. You put the talis down. This over here is a very important pasuk. This is a pasuk which indicates that the atifa goes until the lip. Okay, when atifas yishme'elim. When you put the talus on every morning, so what do you do? So it's not so simple at all. It's really very, 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 very big machlokes. Exactly what the proper technique in making the bracha lis atef betalus. Okay, it's not so simple what to do. But generally, some go into the eyes and some go down until the lip. Okay, the different opinions how far the person when you put the talus on before you. You whip the guy behind you for all of his averus, and then the guy on that side, how far down are you supposed to drape the talus? So some go only hold, it's only proper to go until the eyes, and some hold you're supposed to go until the lip. Correct? What do? You have to go look, okay, you have to go back. Okay, some go until the lip. This pasuk, it indicates that the atifa goes until the lip. The atu al safam. Now here's referring to the Nevi'e Sheker. They're going to drape a garment over their eyes all the way down to the lip in shame that no one should see them because they're put to shame for being exposed as charlatans. Kulam, every single one of them. Sorry? The sun will be embarrassed, right? Busha, two different words. And here you have those words exactly. Those were going together as well. But busha and chofru, two words of shame. Okay, then the otu al safam kulam ki ein ma'ane elokin, because they have nothing. The word ma'ane means a response. In the Mitzudos, David Zutzion, he translates the word ma'ane as inyan amira. They have nothing what to say. And here, when we say in reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, called the Reim Lohaya, their words are false. Ki ein mane Elokim, their words that they have spoken are not the words of Hashem. The Navi is a messenger. Okay, not like what I said yesterday, but I said, and that's not a contradiction, but generally, the Navi is a messenger. And what the Navi is saying is supposed to be the word of Hashem. And now they've been exposed that there was never in their mouth the word of Hashem. They were liars. They were phonies. Ki ein ma'ane Elokim, there was never words of Hashem in their mouth. And therefore, you go backwards, uvoishu ha'chayzim v'chofru ha'chayzimim v'yatu al-safam kulam. Okay, you have to read the pasuk backwards. Because now it's been exposed that they are phonies. There is no ma'ane Elokim. That is why they're going to suffer these three forms of shame. Again, poetic repetition, three different types of shame, or really three different individuals. Maybe we're describing over here three different types of phonies. We have a choizim, we have koismim, and the third one, it doesn't say who the third one is. Pasuk ches, v'ulam. Hashem says, however, the word ulam means however, anochi malesi koyach es ruach Hashem. I have filled up the power of the Spirit of Hashem, u'mishpadu gvura, lehagid liyakov pishoy, to reveal to Yaakov his sins, uli Yisrael chatosai. Hashem says, the Nevi'i Sheker are all liars. But I am the real deal. I represent Micha, maybe Micha over here is speaking. Micha's Vulam Onochi, maybe here first we'll see the first Micha saying, I'm the real deal. I am the real deal. Molesi, I have been filled up to the brim with the Koyach, the power, es Ruach Hashem. Mishpat u'gvura. Furthermore, I have mishpat and gvura. For what purpose? To tell you the truth. And the truth is, you're all a bunch of rishoyim. You're a bunch of sinners. La'agid li'akav pishoy u'li Yisrael chatosai. A lot going on here in this pasuk. A lot of different expressions. Now let's take them apart one by one. Back to pasuk vav in the previous page 476. We already did that. Now, Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzvot David. Pasuk Zayin is on page 478, on the bottom. Uvoishu hachayzim. We continue the Mitzvot. The eighth year of Shaloi Niskaimu Imreihem. When the false prophets discover that the words have not come true, they put to shame. V'yatu kol hachayzim v'hachayzimim yatu al sha'ar hasifosayim. They're going to drape a garment upon the mustache. Okay, the safam, he calls over here, not the lips, it means the mustache. The safam kulam, al sa'ar hasifasayim, kiderech ho'avel, like a mourner, ki oz yis'ablu al roya hamikra, they're going to mourn over the situation that they find themselves in at this point in time. Today, the halach is that an ovel is supposed to do this. Today, we don't do this. No one, you never, ever, ever saw someone doing this in the Ovel, sitting, we go to the base of Ovel, he's sitting with his talus up to his mustache. You never saw such a thing like this. Why not? We don't do this. I don't know why. This is something which is, they do say, I did see this in a number of sources, number of Sarm, and you do, there are people who do this. There are Yechidim that I did see do this, is that they wear a hat. You ever go to a base ovel where the person sitting Shiva is wearing his hat?
Yes.
Where does that come from? It comes from this. It comes from Atifa. Atifa. Now the real Atifa is to take your talus and it should go down until your mustache. And you can't see anything. Right? You can't see anything. That's not derech eretz. Someone's coming to talk to you to be Menachem Ovel, you're not going to go sit with the talus over your eyes. But I don't remember who says this, but I think it could be even in Shulchan Aruch, could be even in Magen Avraham, maybe, I'm not so sure. But in order to fulfill what it says in Shulchan Aruch of an Ovel is Mechuyiv to do Atifa, the very least is to cover your head with something that you ordinarily do not wear. Okay, the average person does not wear a hat during the day. So, wearing a hat is part of the part is considered in halacha a degree of atofa, atitof, of covering your head. So there are people, there definitely have seen this by Talmidei Chachamim, when they sat Shiva wearing their hat to fulfill what it says in Shulchan Aruch that an Avel should do atofa.
A formal ceremony.
No, it's not because of their. No, it's not because of that. You can say they sit Shiva with a tie and jacket, even though the jacket is ripped. Okay, that it's ripped, yeah. but it's, you're right. This dignity. Okay, I'll discuss what you're saying in one moment.
Yeah. It seems to me that when a person is shamed in public,
mm-hmm.
and they cover up, like like you see a perp walk.
Yeah. Okay, but
Exactly.
A mitzora is an avelus. A mitzora has the same exact halachas as an oval in mourning. An oval in mourning has halachas. There are halachas in Shulchan Aruch, and one of the halachas he has to do kriya. He's not allowed to bathe. Okay, there are halachas. He's not allowed to be oisik in dvarim shabitzina. There are things that an oval is not allowed to do. One of the things an oval is mukhuyiv to do is to do atofa. Today we don't do it. Today, it's not the style of living. We never saw such thing. However, being that even though we did not do atof in the real way it's meant to be done, we have a token fulfillment of the way it's supposed to be done is by wearing a hat. Very few people do this. Very, very few people. But there are people that do it, and they do it for this reason. Now, you're saying another idea, and that is dignity. It's a very interesting point. A person who's an avelus does not mean just because his shirt is ripped and his jacket is ripped does not mean there's no dignity in avelus. For example, it says by Purim. This is a very powerful idea. It says by Purim in the Megillah, Sakva Efer Yutsa Lorabim. Now there's a halacha when there's a tainus. Let's say there's no geshem. There's a drought. So in Shulchan Aruch it says you're supposed to institute a series of fastings. When it gets very severe, the technique is to take the Sefer Torah into the town square, and the Chachamim come out, and everyone puts on their head ash. They get dressed in sackcloth, and they apply to their head ash. It says in the Mishnah that the Rabbanim, the Talmidei Chachamim, do not put the ash on their head themselves. Instead, someone else applies the ash to the head of the rabbi, of the Rav. Why? Because it's not dignified for a man of dignity, the rabbi, to apply the ash himself. There's much more dignity, it's more about kovedik, that it's like we give kovet, to give honor, the shamis, or the gabai, or someone should put the ash on the head of the rabbi. It's hard for us to appreciate this. No, that's how it says. It's hard for us to appreciate because we're not familiar with the culture. But having someone put the ash on the head of the rabbi is a much more dignified way than putting the ash on your head yourself. Mordechai, this is what it says in the Gemara. Okay, this is what it says in the Gemara. That putting the ash, that says this in Mishnah, is that someone would put the ash on the head of the Rav, whoever, the Rosh Ha'ir. It says in the Megillah, Sak v'efer, Yutzah was spread out l'rabim, which means, doesn't say in the Pasuk, Sak is the Medrash. In the beginning of Eicha it says this. It quotes this Pasuk in the Megillah. Sak of Yutzah does not say that each individual in the time of the Purim, time of Purim when the Gzera was issued, Lahashmid, Laharagul, Abdes, Kol HaYehudim, it doesn't say that each individual went out into the street and they took ash and they put it on themselves. Mordechai gave instructions that no one should put the ash on their head themselves. Instead, someone else should put the ash on your head. Should be put. Yutzah, it should be put. Oh, Chosson, Doimel Lamelech.
I didn't understand why.
Chosson, Doimel Lamelech. Chosson, Doimel Lamelech. The Chosson does not put the ash on himself. Someone puts, it's like by the Seder. You don't pour your own cup of wine. Someone pours a cup of wine for you. You don't put the ash on your head. Someone puts the ash on the head for you. Achaz is doim b'lemelech. He doesn't put the ash on his head. Someone else puts the ash on his head. Mordechai gave instructions. What Mordechai did was extremely novel. And it's something which is not to be ignored in what was going on at the time, what Mordechai was doing in the time of Purim. Mordechai told every single person is choshev. He built up the self-esteem of every single member of Klal Yisrael. There was a gzera. Lahashmid laharog ula abed es kol hayehudim. Minahar v'yad zokein taf v'noshim. Everyone. Mordechai, so Klal Yisrael, they were in a state of despair. They're like, give up. There was no self-esteem. No one had any value. You hear this about the Holocaust. In the Holocaust, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'zichram, what they did, they took away the person's value of life. Humanity. Like people, life meant nothing. You want to kill me? Kill me. I don't care. It's hard for us to appreciate that. But that's what happened. And that's what happened to Tom of Purim. Mordechai said the first thing we need to do here in this process of doing teshuva, we got to build up self-esteem. And the way we're going to build up self-esteem is every single person in Klal Yisrael is a melech, is a rav, is an adam choshuv. No one should dare put the ash on their own head. Someone should put it on for you to treat you like a melech. Yutza l'rabim. This is a very important point. What is going on? It's a contradiction. If you have ash on your head and you're wearing sackcloth and you're sitting on the floor and you're not eating, you're basically saying, Ribbono shel Olam, I'm a piece of garbage. I'm a piece of garbage. I'm an animal. I'm a nothing. So you're nothing. It's a contradiction that someone should give you kavod. We're gonna make you into a nothing in a ceremony. The ceremony is mechubi, like give it a kofis. Mechubi, it's so and so to come and put the ash on so and so's head. It's a contradiction. The answer is no, it's not. It's not a contradiction. There is dignity in being a piece of garbage. There is dignity in mourning. Just because a person is sitting shiva and his jacket is ripped, and his shirt is ripped, and you can see his talis katan, and he's sitting on the floor, doesn't mean there's no dignity. There's no dignity. Adarabba, people who are dignified when they go to a funeral, Rachmana Litzlan, of a relative, they put on their best suit and their best clothing in order, because when they're going to be sitting shiva, they want to sit shiva in a dignified suit, in a chashiva suit. Oh, but I'm going to destroy it. Okay, so fine, that's a badge of honor. It's a badge of honor that you've raised kriya. But if I'm going to be Makabel, people are going to come to be Menachem Avel, you're going to have a whole group of people, you have to mourn with dignity. And dignity demands you wear your finest clothing. And you wear, it's a different idea. You're saying it's a different idea, wearing the hat, the pashtus is, that's not the, the hat is atifa. Atifa. But you're saying something that's also true, is that even if it was not Atifa, there's a degree of dignity.
Can you say that this is because calling yourself the name
Elohim? Yeah, of course. There is dignity in mourning, and it's a shame that people do not fully appreciate this. Yeah. Okay, I once went by a Tisha B'Av program. Okay, so the person who created the program, the speaker said, we owe a yashar koyach to the organizer of this event, because what has he done by having a program people should come to shiurim on Tisha B'Av? He's given the avelos dignity, because until now, if it wasn't the program, what would you do? Go home and play Scrabble. Go home and read the paper, surf the web. What are you going to do on Tisha B'Av? There's nothing to do. What are you going to do? You're just going to waste your time. You're just going to sit around, do nothing. By having shiurim and having people come together to reflect upon what is going on, you've taken the avelos of Tisha B'Av and you've given it dignity. And they quoted this pasuk: Sak v'efer yutsa l'rabin. The organizer of this event, what he has done is he has been the one who has yutsa. He is the one who has put the ash and the sackcloth upon every single person. He's given them a dignified way to express themselves at this event. There is dignity. It's a very important yisod, dignity in mourning. Now, that's not what it means, otu al safam. Otu al safam, maybe you want to say this, maybe you want to make a wild suggestion, I don't know if that's really true, is that Chazal say, v'al safam ya'ateh, by the mitzvah, and the same exact principle, v'al safam ya'ateh, we apply to the ovel, and it's recorded in Shulchan Aruch. We don't do it today because we don't dress in that fashion anymore. I guess that's the reason why it's not done today is because we don't wear talesos the whole day, so it's not the way that we dress. But we do have a token fulfillment of it, of wearing a hat. Maybe you want to argue is that that's exactly the time of the Torah. The Torah demands of the mitzvah and of the ovel. You're mourning, that's right. You're put to shame. You cover your head. There's an element of shame. But there's another dimension. Ayin panim l'toira. Covering your head is also a distinction. A dignified person covers their head in a dignified way. The Kohen Gadol wears a mitznefes. The Kohen Hedyot wears a migbos. You can't just say that covering your head is just because you're cold or it's just ugly to cover your shame. There's more than just covering the baldness of your head by wearing a hat. There's a degree of dignity. Is that what the pasuk means? Not.
By going and spoon if I care, they take off the hat.
Right, they take off that. It's true, exactly. What's that all about? I don't know. I don't know. I don't get that. What that's all about. Yeah.
You also see by Yosef that as he's going down the caravan, Terry makes the point of saying that it was a sweet smelling caravan.
Well, that was Ashkocho. That was because the okay. That's a little bit different.
I think he was going down there, but he went in a sweet
in a dignified style. Way. Yes. Hashem took him down to Mitzrayim in a dignified way. Okay, it's a similar idea.
Hashem wanted to show him that he's with him.
Yes.
I once had an event. I was very surprised. This is just goes to show. I once went to a funeral of a very very chosh of a person, really a dignified person. And his children are also very chashuv people, very chashuv people. And I was very, very surprised that the children were not wearing ties by the Levaya. They were masped their father, and they came without a tie. I was very surprised. The person that I knew was a very dignified person, and his children are also dignified people, okay, not to the degree of their father. And it just bothered me. I didn't say a word. All right, fine, whatever. I forgot about it. I then went to pay a shiva call to someone entirely different on the west side. It was a long trip. Someone that was very close to my parents. I went like that week. I went that week to pay a shiva call. And that person was a yekka. He was the yekka. He's overly dignified person. Too much. And he was sitting there with a bow tie. Okay, he was sitting shiva with, I think it was sitting with a bow tie. Could be he was. And he's a very dignified person. And then on his own, he just says to me, "You know who died? This person." And he says, "You know, the funeral. You know, you can log in. The chapel has a webcam, and you can log in. You can log in to see." I didn't say, he told me he didn't go to the funeral, but he logged in to the webcam that the chapel provides. People can view the funeral remotely. And he says to me, "You know, I was so surprised that the children were not wearing the way they were dressed at the funeral." And it was like, he read my mind. And he said this to me. He read my mind. But once he said it to me, I mentioned it to someone else. And they looked at me like I'm from Mars. He's an Avelos. The Avelim, they devise Kriya. There's no dignity. What's the difference? And the answer is, no, there is a difference. There is a difference. Just because the person is an Avelos, there is dignity in how a person mourns. Avelos, the whole essence is nothing. You're garbage. You lose control. No, it's not so. There are hanhogos of Avelos, but Avelos has to be done in a dignified way. And you have to study Chazal. You see that Yutzal L'Rabim, that's what Mordechai did. This in fact, is a Medrash. That what I told you is Mamish, a Beferish, a Medrash. I think it's the beginning of Eichon. Quotes this, Yutzal L'Rabim, what Mordechai did is just unbelievable what he did. He demanded to elevate the self-esteem of Klal Yisrael, who is suffering to such an intensity at this point. We're going to mourn. We're going to do teshuva to be mevatel the gezera. But the first thing is dignity. Everyone should feel choshev. I'll give you another example where you have this principle. Chanukah. Why does every person today have a shamus? Okay, this is a vart. I don't know. Why does everyone have a shamus? So there's no need to have a shamus. You light Chanukah, let's say it's the fifth night of Chanukah. You light five candles. Why is there a shamus? Oh, just in case you may be nene, you may be nene from the or, so then we should say you being nene from the or of the shamus. Or in order to show, there's another reason, because someone who observes, someone who comes into your home and they see there's a candelabra, they don't know that it's a Chanukah. Light. They think that it's dark, so you're lighting a candelabra in order to provide illumination in your home. Rabbi, today, those two reasons do not apply 1,000 times over. No one today who sees a Chanukah menorah today will even fathom in their wildest dreams that you lit the Chanukah menorah because it's dark in the room. Even if it is dark in the room, you're not going to light a Chanukah menorah for illumination. Okay? No one's going to think that today. No way. What was the other reason? You're going to be nene from the light. Don't worry. Today you're not going to be nene from the Chanukah. Today you'll turn on the lights. If you need to see something, we have electricity. We have other means of luz. So why do we do it? Why? And this is not new. What I'm telling you is not only from the 21st century. It goes back even 1,000 years. The same principles. It didn't apply then either. The whole time. There's another reason why the Gemara says you have to have a shamus, which a lot of people just totally ignore. Adam choshev. The Gemara says an Adam choshev should have an additional light. Why should an Adam Chashuv, in order to show, how does the Gemara go again? Because in other, I forgot the exact lumdus of why. But in the time of Chazal, there was a hakpada that an Adam Chashuv, in addition to the Chanukah candles, should have a shamus, another light. Because I don't remember exactly. So the first come up, the first daf, in daf chav hey. Daf Chof Hei in Masechta Shabbos. Go look it up afterwards. Adam Chashuv requires an additional candle. The main reason, I believe, why today every single person has a Shamus on their Chanukah menorah is because the Gemara says an Adam Chashuv requires an additional candle. It's not because you're going to be nene from the light. It's not because of Marisayin. Trust me. It's not because of those reasons. Those reasons do not apply today, not even close. But in order that a person should recognize, you're an Adam Chashuv. Golos brings with it an attack on the self-esteem of a Jew. That's what Golos has done to Klal Yisrael. It has brought about an attack on our self-esteem. Today, there's an importance. Every person should appreciate and should be appreciated that they are an Adam Chashuv. And therefore, every little child gets a shamus. Because the extra candle of Masechta Shabbos Daf Chaf Hei is an Adam Choshev requires a Ner Echad. Give you another one more example, we'll stop, and that is Hagba Galila. Who gets Hagba Galila in a shul? According to the letter of the law, what it says, Shulchan Aruch, the Gadol, the most Choshev people get Hagba Galila. My father once told me, my father used to dive in with me. My father taught for many years in YU, 38 years, he taught in Yeshiva University, and he would dive in Mincha. They had many of Mincha, but on a tiny seabor, everyone would dive in together in the main base medrash. My father said, and he comes to one who's this tiny seabor, he goes to the main base medrash, it's packed, and they give out the aliyahs, and who's there? Rav Herschel Schachter. Rav Herschel Schachter was present, and the president of the university, the Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. So you would expect the president, the whole yeshiva, the Davening Minchah, and the Tainus Sibur, they should get one. They're both Yisraelim. One of those two should get an Aliyah. No, they didn't give him an Aliyah. You know what they gave them? Hagba Galila. They gave one of them. I don't know who gave them. They gave one. My father was shocked because we're so used to Hagba Galila. Who do you give it to? You give it to a child. You give it to a child under bar mitzvah. You give him Hagba Galila. They gave, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, Hagadol Shebekulam, the most choshev people, Hagoyel Eloi, Noitel Schar Kineged Kulam, who is called the Goyel Eloi? It's a team. Today it's a team. It's the people who do the Hagba Galila. They gave Hagba Galila to Rav Herschel Schachter and to Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. That's what they did, like it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now, that's very interesting. Why don't we do that? So the simple reason why we do not do that in your average shul is because years ago, go back into that, this is a theory that's been suggested, maybe it's true, maybe it's not, is they used to fight. What a chutzpah. You gave him Hagba and you gave him Galila. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know I'm the greatest person in the world? How could you not know that I am the Gadol Hadar? How could you not know that? What a chutzpah. I'm not giving any money to the shul anymore. It became an ugly, ugly fight who gets Hagba Galila. Even if you're not going to fight for yourself, your children are certainly going to stand up and fight for you. Our father was insulted. He did not get Galila. Did you ever hear a story like that today? You come home from shul and say, they didn't give our father Galila. We're going to burn down the shul. Did you ever hear something like that today? That used to be what they would fight about. So therefore, we got so out of hand, they decided, bunch of babies. You know what? No more kavod for anyone. To put an end to the fighting, we're going to give it to the children under bar mitzvah who have no clue what's going on. Have no understanding. And that put an end to all the ugly fighting. Okay, now, that's what the Olam says. But I want to say just the opposite. In Golos, there's a problem. At least it used to be a problem. Today, maybe it's the other way around. There's too much self-esteem some people have. But in Golos, there's a very great danger of a lack of self-esteem. And in order to build up self-esteem, you give kavod. You build up, you give children Hagba Galila to show they're the greatest. To impress upon people, every person is choshev. Every person is important as choshev. Every person has a shamus. Everyone is choshev. These are things that people sak v'efer yutza l'rabim. Even the little child, someone put the ash on his head. Every person is choshev. That's a necessary message and ingredient in order to elevate the self-esteem of Klal Yisrael, in order they should have a will to succeed and serve Hashem and bring and accomplish great things in this world. It's a common theme that you see that is a necessary ingredient in Golos. All right, stop here.